What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 436, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that will give us a little kickback and keep the podcast on going. With me, of course, is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Oh, just another Wednesday, another podcast. You mentioned like Amazon, right? And like buying things, and it made me think of this hoodie I threw on tonight, and I was like, I haven't worn this in a while. And you know how like clothes have a little tag in there sometimes where it'll show like the date it was made?
Yeah,
you ever see that? This one was from, I've had this from like 2011, so maybe I should buy some more hoodies, and maybe I should go look on Amazon to buy some hoodies.
I mean, at least like I said, you haven't, it still fits. That's good.
It's exactly, it fits, it's comfy.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I used to be a little fatter, I lost weight, I had to buy all new clothes essentially,
so. yeah.
But yeah, new week, lots going on. I don't know if you guys didn't notice last week, there was like stuff everywhere.
I almost said something earlier. I was like, you got less boxes behind you.
Yeah. Today. So I did like a full clean. So we came back, like it came back from Vegas, came back from CES, and I had a bunch to do because we were getting ready for RTX 50 series launch, had to build that test system and start testing graphics cards. I had literally had boxes everywhere. And this past weekend, I cleaned everything. And it feels so much better that everything is all cleaned. And it's like, you ever just like work in mess and then you're like,
oh yeah,
you finally clean it and you're like, oh, this feels so good. So everything is finally all cleaned. Yeah. So that's definitely good. That's my big update for the week, but lots to talk about this week. We have reviews of a really cool case from MSI as well as a mouse from Asus, and those are two companies we know for graphics cards and motherboards, but we have some other products from them, which is pretty cool. Also talk about some controversy with RTX 50 series, specifically 5090s. Some of them are becoming bricks, which is not good. Also a big sort of scandal in Europe with scalper bots being able to buy up almost all of the inventory of 50 series before anybody else could. So talk about that. Also news on Radeon RX 9070 series. We got some official information from AMD on that. So for those who are waiting for that, we'll talk about that and just some other stuff. And of course, talking with you guys in the chat. If you're in the chat, say what's up. If you have questions, definitely leave it there. I always try to look at the chat, even though I'm not great. Ryan's usually catches the chat. So
yeah.
But yeah, let's start with reviews. And I took a look at a really cool case from MSI. This is their Magpano 100 LPZ. And I have to say that this case is really, really good. And I think it's the third official case that I've taken a look at from MSI. And they've all been really good. And I don't know why MSI isn't more known for cases. Even at CES, they had some really cool cases, like compared to even case companies, right? Mm-hmm. They had really cool cases. And this is an affordable case that gets a job done. It's one of those, as you can see here, it is sort of like the aquarium style case, pillarless design. The front has a dual panel design, which kind of like an angle, but it's not as like a pronounced angle, like say like a height Y60 or Y70. And the case is only $119, nice. which is not all that bad. It does not come with any fans or anything like that. I really wish they did have a fan version, but everything in this case is really high quality. It does support back connect motherboards as well. So you can see all of the holes. So MSI's own Project Zero, or if you were doing an Asus BTF build, it will be supported here. Also, you can see this right here. This is a vertical GPU mount. So it comes with a vertical GPU mount. It does not come with a riser card. So if you were going to do vertical GPU, you do need to provide your own riser cable. But beyond that, it does come with that. And the case does come with another bracket. So if you didn't want to do the vertical GPU, you don't have to. And it comes with the case. And all of this is metal. Like there's not a whole lot of plastic on this case either, which I really, really like to see. And talking about those angles, like I said, that front panel you can see right here has two panels. And like all the angles on the case, it makes it stand out from the more boxy style cases, I would say. Just gives it a different look, which I definitely like. As far as cooling support goes, you can do a 360 in the top, a 360 in the side mount, and a 360 here in the bottom. And 10 fans total. So 3, 6, 9, and then a rear fan here would be 10 total fans. So cooling's covered and cooling's done well. The entire back panel essentially is ventilated, like the entire thing.
Wow.
So tons of ventilation on this case as well. You know, good ventilation with the side mounts and everything like that. This is a dual compartment case. So the main compartment, of course, is where your motherboard's going to be. So that's going to be right here. And then on this back side, you have for your power supply, this does support full ATX power supplies. And then there's some storage back there, which I will show you. But you can see this, how that vertical GPU mount comes out too. So you can essentially install your vertical GPU outside the case, take the entire thing out, and then slot it right back in. Or if you wanted to remove this and install the normal mount, it's just two thumb screws and you pull it out. Really, really easy to do. And the panels themselves just have these like little, I guess it's just like a little groove there. You put your finger in there, apply some pressure, and both panels come off really easily. Completely toolless. Definitely like that, just for ease of use and everything.
Now, this is so nice compared to like, I mean, thumb screws were an improvement, but you used to have to like bust out the screwdriver with the little,
Yeah, you can see how it just, like I said, they just pull off very, very easily. No problem. Some other things. So the bottom cooling mount is removable. So if you were installing fans down there, you can actually fully remove this cooling mount. The side mount and top mount are not removable. Let's see here. And then as we move to the back of the case, so the back of the case is kind of interesting. So they have these sort of covers, and one, everything's metal, so there's no plastic, which I love to see. But you can install hard drives here, and it's not on this outside where you actually see the holes. It's on the inner side. So you can do a 2.5-inch SSD here. You can do either two 2.5-inch drives or two full-size hard drives here. So that would be three. And then when you actually open that up, so you can open both of these up. So here's the top open, and you can see your power supply will go here, some cable routing. And then when you open the bottom up, there's actually two more removable trays for 2.5-inch SSDs. So you can see they're right there at the bottom. So five total hard drives in this case, which is quite a lot these days. I think typically it's like 2 to 4. So having five, especially with support for two full-size 3.5-inch drives, is pretty nice, actually. And again, this case isn't necessarily massive by any means at all. All of your cabling here is going to be white, which is attention to detail. Love to see that from MSI. One thing I also didn't notice or didn't mention is that on the front, all of your connections and buttons are on the side of the case rather than the front or the top. I actually like this. Like right now, my case is, you know, on its side, and it'd be so much easier to like put in a flash drive or just hit the power button from the side, because most people, that's how they have their case. So you do have that. You also get a USB 3.2 Gen 2 type C port, which is really great to see as well. But it's nice that that's on the side of the case. Really, really like that. Installation in this is incredibly easy. I didn't run into a single issue. Everything in went in no problem. MSI did send over some of their MPG EZ120 ARGB fans. These are magnetic. They kind of just snap together, and then you put like a little in between each fan, you put like this little block that connects everything. So there's only one cable that comes off of everything. Those go in really, really easy. And one thing that's also nice about the side mount, so in a lot of cases, the side mount sort of sits flush with the back of the case. This side mount actually doesn't. So you actually have room behind it. So you could do a push-pull if you really wanted to in this case too. So that's definitely nice as well. No problem with our graphics card. This supports long graphics cards, as you can see. No issues there. Everything went in no problem. Of course, all our cabling was, you know, easily routed with all the holes and all of these. There's plenty of tie downs, but there's also the straps. And then with everything, like, you can hide all your cables. Like, it's completely clean. And then the opposite side is very, very clean as well, as you can see. So very clean build, very easy to build in, lots of room, lots of space. And there is some lighting on the case itself. So there is a small little RGB section towards the front that has the MSI Dragon logo and just like a little RGB element. This connects via a 3-pin. So you can adjust it with your motherboard's RGB software, but that's the only lighting on the case. And then with the included fans that they sent us, you can see what the side mount looks like. So if I did have this like fully loaded up with fans, it would look excellent, I think. Yeah. But overall, this is a really good case. I did some testing in it with a 12900K, does quite well. I would have obviously with an optimal system with rear fan, at least a rear fan, we would have got a lot better cooling performance, but I just with right. what they sent, still not bad. And overall for $119, this is a solid case. There's not a lot of plastic on this case, which is one thing I love to see. It's really easy to build in. You can do vertical GPU. Again, you just have to provide your own riser cable, but the mount is there if you want it. Nice and big, lots of room for cooling, all the appropriate connections. No real issues with this case at all.
Yeah.
If anything, I would say that there is a filter on the bottom, but it's really hard to get off. It's not one that's like a pull-out filter.
Some case manufacturers made good headway with those bottom filters, but some are still kind of using.
Yeah. So, setups. But like I said, for $119, you really can't go wrong. Yeah, I gave really it a 9 nice out of 10 price. And our recommended award. So, it would just like I would pay like $150, $160 for a version of this that came with fans and maybe even a controller.
Sure. Yeah.
But they don't have, there's just no fans, which I think we're kind of moving in that direction too, because there's so many really good fans out there. And
yep.
some, I think case companies know that there's like certain brands that like people really love just for fans, and they don't want to lock somebody into either their fans or like having to get the fans, and they know the customer's not going to use their fans. So it is nice to have a version that it does have no fans, but it would be nice to have one too for people who just want something that's good to go out of the box. But overall, really like the case. Check out the review. I'll be having a actual video on this go up on our YouTube very soon. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. We'll move on to mice, and I took a look at this mouse right here. This is the Asus ROG Harp Ace Aim Lab Edition, and it's a 56 gram mouse. Super, super light. Really like this. I've been a huge fan of lightweight mice for a while. You're on the lightweight mouse train too, yeah. aren't you?
Absolutely. Before you were even.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, but this, like, again, we talk about Asus for like motherboards, graphics cards, but they make really good gaming accessories, and I don't think they get enough praise for it because they're actually really, really good. So like I said, this mouse, 56 grams, it does come, I know Ryan loves the mouse grips and all that. It does come with like mouse grips. It comes with extra feet. I don't need mouse grips, at least for me. And then, like I said, this mouse is actually really, really comfortable overall. The biggest thing that you worry about when it comes to mice, lightweight mice, is like structural integrity. Mm-hmm. And of course, I did my press to try to break the mouse test where you just like, and there's really no give at all on the sides of the mouse, which I really, really like. And this mouse has no holes in it. So you don't have any holes or anything like that at all. So no holes. And it is a pretty simple overall mouse. So two main buttons right here on the front. This uses Asus's optical switches. They're not the hot swappable ones though. So you're stuck with the switches that are in there, which is typically fine for most people. Yeah. And if you look at the mouse, it doesn't flare out all that much. The design is actually quite comfortable, at least for me. And I really like it. And you have two buttons on the side. So you have your two main side buttons and that's it. So essentially you have, you know, your scroll wheel that you can move up and down. You can click, you have two mouse buttons and then two buttons over here and that's it. Nothing on So here's the side, you can see the hump, and then the opposite side doesn't have anything. Now, you will notice that there's like these like little slits cut into the frame. Those actually are quite comfortable and give you like a good place to really like put your either your thumb on one side and then your like your one finger on the other side. Very comfortable overall, where like I said, I feel like I don't need the mouse grips really to have a good grip on this mouse. Type C, of course, for connectivity. This is a wireless mouse and it's a tribe mode. So you can do 2.4 gigahertz as well as Bluetooth on this. And of course, you can use it wired as well. And again, the type C is right there on the front. For the sensor, this uses Asus's Aimpoint sensor, which is an optical sensor, 36,000 DPI, max tracking speed of 650 IPS. And this is one of the few mice that beyond just DPI. So you, there's like this top button right here is to roll through. I think it's four different DPI levels that you can switch through. But the other one, you use that in combination with some of the other mouse buttons, and you can like change things like the liftoff speed and other things on the fly. So like liftoff speed, pulling rate, some other things you can change. It's one of the first mice that I've actually seen that be a possibility without having to go
outside the software.
Yeah. So you can kind of do that. This uses their USB 2.4 gigahertz dongle. This is their Omni receiver, which means that you can use just this receiver. If you have an Asus, any other Asus wireless product, you can use just one receiver. And this receiver is quite good. I always say this, like if you're buying a 2.4 gigahertz product from like some no-name brand, typically your latency isn't necessarily the best. This is actually quite good, really, really good. No latency issues with this Omni receiver. And I, like I said, Asus talked at length about this receiver with me and how they've done things to really improve latency on it. So like I said, Asus has done a really good job on that. Now, this will work, of course, with Asus's Armory Crate. I know a lot of people aren't a fan of Armory Crate. I'm necessarily not the biggest fan. You can use their lightweight Armory Crate for this, which is their Armory Crate gear, if you're not necessarily using an Armory Crate for other products. I use the normal version because I tested it on this system here, and I have an Asus motherboard, so I have Armory Crate. Pretty simple run-through of the software. You can, you know, change all of your mouse functions quite easily. You can go into performance and change all of your different DPI levels and your pulling rates and your acceleration, all the things you would kind of want. There is some lighting on the mouse itself. Like if I turn this mouse on and there's just some lighting right there on the wheel, scroll wheel. That's basically it. But you can control that if you want to. You can calibrate this as well. So like if your mouse software offers calibration, definitely calibrate it to your mouse pad. And you can run through calibration and do all that. Battery level too. So you can check your battery level. You can also get alerts when the battery level is low. And then this does have a sleep mode. So again, it's not just going to sit there on and then just kill the battery. So that's quite nice as well. And then there's also a section for the Omni receiver. As you can see, you can pair other devices to the Omni receiver pretty easily. But overall, this is actually, I just switched back to my Razer mouse just so I could show you this without messing up anything that we're doing here on the screen. But I actually really, really like this. And I told Ryan that I'd give this to him after I review it. I'm kind of sad that I am, because this is really comfortable. I love the weight. Most other mice in this category are like 58, 59, up to like 64. I think this Razer is 64 and it's supposed to be lightweight. So like it's very, very lightweight, which I really, really like. Small, not necessarily small, but it's like, I just really like the design and it feels good in the hand. It feels really, really good in the hand. I'm probably going to switch back to it when we play games later, but overall, it's really, really good. And it's not necessarily crazy expensive. It's $89.99 right now, which I don't think is all that expensive for a really great wireless gaming mouse. It's lightweight, does everything. And it does come with, like, I also didn't show you, like, it does come with a full-on cable if you need one. And it comes with the dongle adapter as well. So you would necessarily, and it, like, this is one that has, like you can actually mount it on your desk. So you put this as close to your mousing surface as possible, because you never want to plug a wireless receiver directly into your motherboard, especially if it's USB 3. You just don't want to, because you'll get some weird issues. So it's nice that they have all that as well. So for $89.99, I really like this. Gave it a 9 out of 10. Armory Crate's just slow, and that's just an Asus thing overall. Mm-hmm. So, but check out the review if you are interested. Like I said, two really awesome products. And it was kind of interesting. It's two products from companies that are known for graphics cards and motherboards, but these are actually really good products from them. So,
both those companies, are like motherboard and GPU type companies, right? But they make cases, they make power supplies, they make all-in-one coolers now, and they just don't. I don't know if they just don't spend their marketing budget on that as much, or people, you know what I mean? Like, because they make good products across the board.
Well, that's the thing, is that I think they're so well known for those things when people, and there are a lot of great companies. Like you talk about AIOs, like everybody loves mm-hmm. Corsair. But again, you only hold that for so long, and then people kind of take notice. So like I said, I'm really impressed with both of these products. Especially the case from MSI, like it's just a good case, priced really well. Can't complain about it. So like I said, guys, check out those reviews. They are up on the site. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And of course, this is where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have one from our friends over at GGF. This is their Haven. How do you think you say that? Haven or Haven?
I think it's Haven.
Haven HS420 build. Love the colors on this, actually. White, and what would you call that? Like a
cream?
Yeah.
Maybe? I don't know.
I think it looks so good. Like, you know, what do I like about this build, Ryan? You know me.
It's got frosted tubes.
Yeah, it's got frosted tubes. It has the frosted reservoir.
Yeah.
And I really, really like that. Yeah, this is like a white, silver, and I guess you would call that like matte gold.
Maybe.
But like, or something, some color, but excellent build from GGF as always. This case is quite nice as well. And just to see a build in it is pretty awesome. So, but yeah, Alpha Cool, water cooling in this. How big is this radiator, Ryan?
I don't know. That's like, it looks like 3 thickness. So like,
yeah, that's a thick,
like 80, almost 80 millimeter.
So you're like the radiator guy, right? So like,
sure.
So most radiators are like one, like, you know, like one of these.
Right.
So like, how much extra cooling does trip, like doubling that get?
I don't know that I would say that it's like, that's equal to 3 standard 360s. Because you got to have a fan that can push through it, right? So he's using, I don't know what fans he's using, but they look to be like 30 millimeter fans.
Yeah, they're big fans.
So they're a little thicker. But you only have that. While yes, you have some additional radiator surface area there in one unit, I'm not sure that it gives you like an equivalent to 3 3 6 standard 360s.
Gotcha.
But if you've got space, you know, only one spot, and you've got enough room for a thicker radiator and you got fans to support it, right? Sometimes it makes sense. It looks cool too, like in some cases.
Yeah, where, yeah.
Because otherwise there's a lot of space at the bottom of that case. Because if you look, like the motherboard only goes down so far.
Yeah.
And then you've got that little bump out. And so filling that up with a thicker radiator and the thicker fans gives the appearance of less like empty space in the case.
Yeah. Like I said, I like this build. I just like the colors a lot. And it's like, it's really cool to see the frosted, everything is like, you know, like in a lot of builds, the coolant is like very pronounced and like flashy, like mm-hmm. in your face. This is like more toned down. I kind of like that.
Is this another, this is just, it's got that, reservoir that's kind of bumped off of the side radiator.
Yeah, right here.
We saw that last week too?
Yeah, maybe? I think, yes.
or very recently where we saw that. I like that trend.
Yeah, because one, there's like you are kind of space limited, right?
Yes.
And two is that, yeah, it just makes sense and it does look good too. So yeah, shout out to Stuart over at GGF for this build. Quite nice. So yeah, definitely go ahead and check that out. And of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday build. So you go to articles, Case Mod Friday, and then there's just like you can essentially scroll for a very long time. Like, wonder how long it would take to scroll to the end of these. It would take a while.
That'd be a while.
Yeah.
Your browser's going to use some memory, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to watch the podcast just crashes because I'm scrolling for too long. But yeah, there's quite a lot in there if you guys want to go ahead and check those out. Moving on to news. So RTX 50 series was essentially went on sale the day we did the podcast last week.
Yep.
More or less, Newegg sold out in 5 minutes. Entire stock cleared with 50 series GPUs. The entire thing was gone in 20 minutes.
Most of it was gone in 5 minutes.
Yeah, most of it was gone in 5 minutes. Everybody wanted these, even with like pretty mediocre review of the 5080s. Everybody still wanted these. I think there's just so many people that are like, this is their upgrade. Like, you know, like when, like, especially when it comes to like, you know, talking about like iPhone, like, okay, well, you know, the next iPhone that I'm going to get, it may not have that many great upgrades or something, but like, it's my upgrade year. So I'm going to upgrade. I think a lot of people were maybe on that 30 series or even below 20 series card. And they're like, okay, this is what I'm going to upgrade. Like, I'm going to be building a new system. You know, it's my time to get a card. There were lines outside of, I saw lines outside of Micro Center, people waiting there for a very long time. Kind of scarcity of these cards, though. Like, really, there was a lot of 5080s, a lot more 5080s than there were 5090s. I saw some things that there were like five total 5090s at some Micro Centers, five total, which is not a lot. Nope. So, yeah. And pretty much everything sold out. And like people in the chat were like, RTX 50 series MSRP prices just went up to insane levels. I haven't checked. Have you checked pricing?
I saw that message at the beginning. I didn't go and look at pricing though. I wonder, like, did Nvidia update their MSRP pricing, or are we just seeing like companies adjust to, you know, tariff type pricing? I think is what the.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm looking on eBay. So $2,000 for a 5080. That's double the price. Let me move this over here so you guys can see. So like $2,000 for a 5080, but then there's like, oh, this one has redescription. That means it's probably a picture. I saw a lot of those.
In stock. Like, you'll get it when I get it. Yeah. I mean, it looks like Zotac store on Amazon has a 5080 amp and it's $2,500.
Is it them selling it?
It says visit the Zota. Let me look. Hang on. Oh, nope. It's yeah. Not. It is a different seller.
Yeah. And the thing is that I don't feel, I saw another story this week that like these stocks won't be replenished for a while.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because like, I feel like Nvidia kind of knew.
They always know, right? Like make more, you know, you're going to sell them.
They're
all like, gonna sell.
It's just like I just don't understand the scarcity maybe of the 5090, but like you should have so many 5080s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honestly surprised that they sold, like, again, given the very lackluster enthusiasm in all the reviews and even in our review of the 5080 that they sold that many. But again, people are ready for it's upgrade time.
I'm sure, and the community is so big that, like, yeah, you're going to sell them all no matter what. Like, there's enough people wanting to build a system or needing these parts that, yeah, they're going to sell.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think as well. Yeah, I know some people who tried to get them, they couldn't. So we'll see. One of the bigger scandals, I don't know how to call it a scandal, but who was this? So this is like PC Games Hardware. They have this story about in Europe. Let's let Google translate this. So in Europe, a bunch of scalper bots essentially were able to buy RTX 5090s and 5080s. Okay. With the scalper bots, but they were able to purchase them or put in purchase orders before
they actually went on sale.
Like, I don't know if the scalper bot found the listing and was able to put in the order before it went actually live, or so I didn't get to fully read the story.
When something like that happens, it's like, can't you identify those orders and just negate them? I mean, obviously the company's happy they've sold them.
I think if you're a retailer, you don't care. So it says, we now have confirmation that the entire European supply of RTX 50 series FE cards was scalped by bots before the official launch. And PC Games Hardware tracked down the creator of the bots and his Discord server. And the person said all orders need to be canceled. And like crazy, like inflation prices by certain retailers because they know they would still sell anyways. On a bunch of cards, like $5,000 for 5,000 euros for a 5090. These were at certain stores, but I think the bot thing is the bigger controversy. Like, imagine, you know, you're waiting, and then
they're just gone.
And
they're gone before they're even available.
I don't know if this is the updated story or not. Because they've been doing a pretty good thing on this thing. Look at these prices.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
The Astral, 6,800 euros.
Yeah, that's crazy. But that's a pretty big controversy. Like I said, you know, as much as like people still don't think about it, but like, don't you miss like EVGA where like they verified that you were like a real human and he wasn't a scalper.
A scalper. They kind of did that lottery style.
Yeah, they did all of that for, what was it, the 30 series launch was the last one? Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, pretty interesting. I would be kind of pissed. Especially like, you know, you're a kid, you saved up this money, you know, for however long.
That is true. I like that. Yeah.
Pseudoscientist said, if people are camping out, why do you need to sell GPUs online the first week, month? That's true as well.
But I will say, like, not everybody has a retailer in their area.
Well, that also, is
gonna carry them, right?
Well, also, too, like, some of these online are only online retailers as well. You know what I mean? They don't have, like, a physical, necessarily, location. So,
right.
But yeah, that's just, oh, man. I'd be really upset if I like save money, you know. Like, I remember being like young and like, you know, when you like worked is whatever and you saved up to get like that big thing and then you're ready to get it. And then it's just like, there's nothing.
Or let people pre-order almost like reserve, you know, like you put money down, you've reserved your spot, you're, you know, in wave one or wave two or whatever, and you've got a limit of one per whatever.
Well, that's the thing too, is that also the pre-order allows people, like allows NVIDIA to know how many they need as well.
Yeah.
So, but one thing that's apparently happening with 5090s is they're getting bricked. Imagine getting one of the few 5090s. Like, I don't even have 5090.
And what?
Getting one of the few 5090s.
Update my drivers, right? Make sure I got the latest version.
You install the card, you're running through, you turn on your system, you're like, oh, I got to install the newest driver. Install the newest driver, and then the thing turns into a brick.
Well, your screen usually flickers when you update a video driver, but doesn't usually stay black, which I think was kind of what was happening.
Yeah, and it's been reported not just certain brand or something, like, bunch of brands, and here's like people in certain forms, like they're complaining. I don't know how widespread this is, or if we're just.
So I read some follow up on it, and you know, some of it has to do with, because at first people were saying, hey, this is like a hardware thing, and like it breaks the card. Other things I had seen were that, you know, you need to on your motherboard change that slot down to Gen 4, and it takes care of it.
So it's like a PCI Express 5 issue,
right? Yeah, is what some people. I hadn't followed up on it. Like I read about it the day this story broke. Read a little bit about it later on in the day. I haven't kept up with it, so I don't know if it's like become more widespread, or like people are like, no, it's just a, you know, a PCI Gen 5 and 4 issue.
That's, I mean, at least it didn't actually brick the card. I also saw a story that somebody did already burn their cable.
Of course.
But they, I did hear that it was user error, which typically, and even on a lot of the original ones, a lot of that was user error too. But yeah, somebody already did that. Dispatcher Gamer in the chat says that driver black screened my 4080 Super. Oh man. Imagine if you're like a first time builder too, and you have no clue. You don't know. Maybe you don't even know what Reddit, I would assume you know what Reddit is, but like you don't know where to go for help. Like you're just, you know, or like you like made your parents buy you it, and then like you're like, oh, I'm building it, I'm gonna turn it on. You turn it on, like, oh cool, and then you update the driver and like nothing happens, and you're just like, wait a minute.
Yeah, mom and dad are looking at you like, you ruined it already. Like I just,
and like say like that's the only computer in the house. Man. Like you can't get the driver somewhere else, like you, or you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. If you don't have another system you can access to get that. Ugh, that would suck.
Yeah. So yeah, pretty interesting things that are going on. I think that one of the big, I think things that are like maybe like one or two instances or maybe a handful kind of get blown out of proportion these days. So hopefully it's not nothing, and hopefully it's just like a driver issue. It's not necessarily ruining the card, because that would be like an RMA nightmare.
Oh yeah, too. Especially this early in.
Oof. Yeah. So that's pretty much everything on the 5090, 5080, as far as like what we've seen since launch, anything else. And like I said, we do have our review of the 5080 if you want to go ahead and check that out. Moving on to 5060 Ti and 5060 to launch in March. We have another story talking about what also might come out in March. You're on the set. You're going to go for a 70 series if you decide to upgrade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 5060 Ti and 5060 to launch in March. That's what people are saying. I think the more these are out, the better, because you can't get any of the high-end ones. I think that's definitely, you know.
And I think it's kind of like a pyramid, right? Your higher-end 5090 buyer and high-end 5080 buyers, that market is smaller than the 70s and 60s, right? So, yeah, there's a ton of people waiting for these cards to come out.
Yeah. So we already talked about it last week, but the 5060 Ti should have both a 16-gigabyte version and an 8-gigabyte version. As I said last week, not necessarily the biggest fan of that. We'll see how that goes. I think the biggest thing with these cards is, just like I said in my 5080 review, especially the lower-end cards, is really going to be DLSS4. You're going to be able to get really great frame rates while using that without really noticing anything, all that, unless you're really, really looking for it and get really good at looking for it. But for most people, that you will be able to play, you know, 4K with a lower end card if you turn on those settings, especially again if your title supports DLSS4. And I didn't talk about it that much in my review, but NVIDIA in the NVIDIA app will have a setting where like it's like a DLSS4 override. So if there's not a specific setting in the game yet, you can still use it. It's pretty cool, actually. Hmm. So that's I think exciting for a lot of people who, again, are on their upgrade, and maybe this is the level of the card that they're at. They will have to wait till March. So that's definitely good. Talking about,
I saw the image in that story. You scroll down and then back up real quick, but I was like, did that say Chain Tech? That's a brand I haven't heard in a long time.
I know, right? But talking about what also is probably coming in March, Radeon RX 9070 series, that is expected to have a launch event for late February. I would assume they have some launch events, reviews go out late February, available in March. And honestly, I think that, like, I kind of thought initially, like, it's just too little too late because they should have launched at CES, in my opinion.
Yep.
But now that there's no availability of
50 series. Swoop in and, but I mean, that's, yeah. Yeah, and really, late February is only a couple weeks away. We're already almost a week into February. February's a short month. That'll be here before we know it.
I'm talking about DLSS4. Dispatch Gamer said, I'm done with fake frames. NVIDIA screwed all the gamers, going back to AMD when they decide to make the higher-end card next generation. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that, and we talked about it in the 5080 review, I think the biggest thing that we want as gamers is we want generational performance. So if, like I said, it's like I said in my review, if you have an RTX 5080, it should perform the same as the previous generation RTX 4090, like it should.
Or better. Yeah,
or better. Just in raw performance. Now, adding DLSS4 and all that stuff is great. And if you want to take advantage of that, sure. But you want actual performance. You don't want to keep on getting that performance, keep on getting smaller and smaller and smaller every generation, where it is a lot of software and people just want that raw performance. And like you said, talking about when AMD decides to make a next high-end card. I mean, I don't like AMD is doing such good things in the CPU space, but in the graphics, I mean,
mid-range is fine.
Mid-range is fine, but you're never necessarily going to compete. You have to have a high-end card. You just do.
Yeah.
In not even at the 5090 level, like at the 5080 level, like you need something in that range. You don't have anything. You know what I mean? And the 9070 XT is not going to be that as well.
Nope.
Yeah. But yeah, so launch event, late February. There's still going to be low stock of 50 series at that time. And we also have a story about Lisa Su in their earnings call. She confirmed launch of RX 9070 series in early March. So again, late February, announce all the details, everything that we didn't get at CES will probably be at this, and then reviews, and then availability. Do you think there's going to be more availability of these cards than the 50 series?
That's tough to say. Like, they know they will sell them. I think they kind of treat NVIDIA and AMD are similar in that stance of they only make so many, and they don't, from our viewpoint, or at least my viewpoint, they don't make enough. I think you'll end up with shortages as well on the AMD side.
But I do think that now this NVIDIA has sort of helped AMD at this point, because if somebody's, like I said, they're on their upgrade, this is their time to, this is their upgrade year, right? How long are you going to wait for a 5080 or even a 5070 Ti or 5070 when those come out?
Right.
Like, because everybody wants 50 series. That's kind of at least what we've seen so far based on availability and everybody waiting at stores and everything like that. So if you can't get any 50 series, whether, again, going down all the way to 50, 60, if those are really, really hard to get, and AMD has a massive stock of 9070 series, would you just go 9070?
You're going to save some money, that's for sure.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see. We'll try to get some of these cards in to take a look at as well. So to give you guys a nice comparison against 40 series and 50 series. But it's always good when graphics cards come out. We just want availability as gamers. We want generational performance, and we want to be able to buy the card if we want to spend the money on it. I think that's the biggest thing. Yep.
Yeah, and I think we've just seen the market for these, for GPUs and components in general, grow since, like, it felt like, yeah, you used to be able to just go to Best Buy or whatever back in the day, and like a day or two after, or a week after, or whenever after a card launched, and you could like get the new card and it was there on the shelf. I think PC gaming has grown, even though you always hear the stories of, is PC gaming dead? Is PC gaming dead? I think it's just continued to grow, actually.
Well, I think COVID had a lot to do with the actual growth we saw, because sure, everybody had to work from home, and then they got a allowance from their company and they decided to build a gaming PC. You know, yeah, company yeah gave them $2,000 for a laptop or mm-hmm a, and they're like, well, instead of a laptop, let me build my own computer.
Like get a desktop, yeah.
Yeah, or whatever it may be. So I think that had a lot to do with it. And I mean, you have to think too, is like the popularity of streaming and all of that. And
yeah, for sure,
you know, for a lot of people, you need a PC to stream. Even if you're streaming from a console, a lot of people use a PC.
Right, you got to run through something.
Yeah, to do all of that and all of the other things, editing video, everything. It's just grown so much that even people who are not necessarily gamers are buying the graphics cards because they need them to do their video editing. They need them to do their 3D modeling. Even people are going to buy some of these for like low end LLM stuff, AI, like, you know what I mean? So it's yeah just continually growing. It might not just be PC gaming, you know,
sure,
people that are buying these. So yeah, we'll see availability. I really hope that, you know, 5070 series, 5070 Ti and 5070, there's going to be more available. That's, of course, going to be a more affordable card. And especially 5060, I hope that there's going to be more available as well. But yeah, we'll see how all that goes, I guess. And I would really love to see a lot more 5080s become available mm-hmm to people, too. I think most people, you don't need a 5090. I don't know what you're doing that you do, but if you think you need one, I would save $1,000 and get a 5080,
right,
for most people. But our last story of the week, I wanted to put this in here because I wanted to see if you have taken a look at it yet. Elgato released their Wavelength 2.0 software. You're using Elgato, Mike?
Mm-hmm. And Wavelength, yeah. I have not updated to.
Oh, what? That's the whole reason I put this story in here.
No, I have not. I did see this, though. They just came out with it, man.
Well, you know, but yeah, Wavelength 2.0 is out. I think that was a game changer for Elgato and really got their name out there when it came to microphone stuff, because so many mics, just like this mic that I have here, it's a really nice HyperX mic, but it's just a mic. Like in all of the, most of the USB mics that you would get previously to Elgato, you just got the USB mic.
Right.
Maybe with some software to like change some voices, like stuff, but not necessarily. You had to use, what was the free audio routing software?
Oh, what was it?
I forget what it was called.
I don't know. I've been using Wavelength for so long.
Yeah, but if you needed to, you had to use that free software that was like really buggy a lot of the time and didn't necessarily work well. And then Elgato came out with like their mics, and they came out with Wavelength, and it really gave you audio routing, like as you can see, for like all of your devices. And it was like, it was kind of like the NVIDIA broadcast of like the microphone world. Is like, this is the add-on that you get if you buy an Elgato mic. You have all of this other stuff that you can do. You have all of your routing, especially if you're streaming. And it was just like made it so much easier.
There's still some things that I think they could improve, and it looks like, I don't know. It looks very similar to current Wavelength, to be honest. But I do like the little icons below the top sound bars that shows like the applications that are affected, yeah, I think, by those, which I think is great. Because there's some clarity that you don't get inside of current Wavelength that I think this helps to alleviate some of the confusion there. So yeah, I'll be excited to try it out.
Nice. Yeah, maybe you can give us an update next week if you decide to update it and all of that. So, but yeah, nice to see that from Elgato. Always good to get new kind of stuff for streaming and all that kind of stuff. So, talking about what we have coming up next week, we talked about the Astro card a little bit earlier, and the crazy price. But I will be taking a look at the ROG Astral RTX 5080, which could be, people could call it one of the best. It is their flagship RTX 5080. So I'll be taking a look at that, do all the testing, compare it, of course, to the MSI's Vanguard, and see the differences between the two. I haven't opened it up yet. I'm going to open it up tomorrow, so I'm pretty excited.
It is such a sturdy card. I just remember seeing it at CES, and it's like,
well, I mean, we saw that one. We saw was the 5090,
but still, it's still the like same frame and design.
Yeah. So the frame is metal.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, the frame is actual metal. It's not plastic. Which is awesome. So I will have that, maybe some other stuff. Just like last week, I didn't tell you I was reviewing the mouse, but I have a bunch of stuff in here to review. It just all depends on how much time I have to get it all done.
Yep.
As we come to the end, we do a question of the week, and Super Bowl is this upcoming weekend. Do you think there's going to be any tech commercials at the Super Bowl?
It wouldn't surprise me if we saw like maybe some AI companies running some commercials, whether that's OpenAI or Google or Microsoft or Meta, right? I could see some of those companies highlighting that. But as far as like other tech, I don't know. Have we ever seen like a true tech company run stuff? I don't think we have.
I mean, I think like Microsoft used to. Yeah. I don't think Apple ever did. I don't know if Apple ever did.
But we're not. You're never gonna see like an Asus commercial or something. No, right?
The closest you would ever get would be like Nvidia,
I could see Meta running something if they were coming out with a brand new Quest or something, yeah. Right? Because I feel like maybe we have seen Meta ads before.
Yeah, Facebook has had a Super Bowl commercial, I believe.
I'm sure.
And like, I know Microsoft has, I know.
It's surprising that none of these companies do. They're so big. They're so profitable. Like,
I know Google did
out there.
Well, like, obviously, like, I mean, Apple doesn't need to, right?
No.
I'm trying to think like OpenAI commercial.
Right.
A ChatGPT commercial.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Amazon, you know, I'm sure they ran like, commercials for their all their in-home devices back when they were launching those, right?
Yeah, and I know Amazon has had like actual Super Bowl commercials too.
Yeah. It's just so much.
Maybe food, it's like maybe like commercials. Car company commercial, right? Like an electric car. That's sort of tech, I guess, but it's not really tech.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you see that? You'll be able to stream the game with Tubi.
No, I did not.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's free.
What channel is it on anyways? Isn't it on like Fox?
I think it's on Fox. I think, yeah. So like you can, like, so for free you can stream it on Tubi, which is 100% free. Just free streaming service. And which is kind of crazy that they of all people like got that contract. You would think it'd be like Amazon or or YouTube TV or like one of the Yeah. I think who owns Tubi?
I was just looking. It's parent organization's Fox.
So Fox owns it. That's why.
So I didn't realize that. And it's an American company.
Yeah. So maybe that's why it's free. Well, that's pretty cool that they're doing that. Of course, I'm sure you're excited for the Super Bowl.
I am.
Do you think it's written. It's a script's written.
Hey, man, as long as that script ends with the Chiefs winning, I'm fine. Well, it'll just be wild. Like,
well, the thing is that, okay, so I went through this. We went
with the Steelers, yeah.
No, I went through this with the Penguins. Could like they lost in the playoff, but like they didn't make it to the final for the third time. But we were on that path, and then we didn't to get three in a row, right? So like nobody's ever won three in a row in football, right?
No.
Yeah. So that's the big thing.
Yeah. And you break this cycle, then it's like, all right, you've got at least 3 years before this can ever even come up again. And
teams
going back to back 3 years and it just even getting there, like even if you've lost the other two is like so rare.
That's the thing. And like how like supposedly Kelsey's gonna retire, you know what I mean? Like all some of your big play, like you know, pieces move around and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
how many more times can you get it with, I mean, Mahomes, he's not necessarily old by any means, no. But you know, that's what I mean. So how many more times can you go in again to get back? So like, yeah, I mean, like I'm kind of rooting for, I mean, I'm not really a football person. I actually like the Chiefs. I like Mahomes a lot. And it would be cool to see a team win three. That's like a true dynasty. Sure. Like, no question at all. Three in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I'm excited for this weekend. For
sure. Do you think there'll be any, you know, like remember the 1 year at the Super Bowl, they did the first 360 camera thing. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
It was like the year that like Britney Spears and Aerosmith did this halftime show. But it was like it was like one of the first like 360 camera things. And they used it during the game. They also used it during the halftime show. And like they would freeze the frame and they could.
Oh, and they could do the rotate around.
Yeah. Do you think we'll see any new tech like related to the game or anything like that?
I don't know. I mean, we've had those sky cams for so long now.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like no big deal. I don't know.
Like a drone cam or like.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised we don't have sensors in the ball yet, but that just like adds a layer of scrutiny.
After the Bills game, that's what people are saying. They need them.
Yeah, like it adds like that extra layer of scrutiny to your refs and their calls. Which is tough, right?
Yeah. Same thing with hockey. They're like they tried to do the puck track and all the bunch of other stuff. So but yeah, it's always are you excited for the halftime show? I'm not.
No, I went and looked at like Kendrick Lamar and I was like, all right, let me see. Like, I probably know a song and I just don't realize it. I was like, I never heard any of these songs. No, I don't listen to music.
I know some of his songs. I'm not necessarily the biggest fan. He is like one of the most.
But he's huge.
Yeah,
right?
One of the most popular rappers out there.
I just don't like listen to a lot of music anymore.
You know what I like about the Super Bowl and like any other big event? I think the Super Bowl is one of the few really big events that I actually like watch in real time now. Mm-hmm. Everything else you kind of get later. Like people last week talked about the Grammys. I didn't watch. I don't really care. But like I feel like Super Bowl is still one of those events that you watch in real time, and then like you're on your phone and you're on Twitter and you're like interacting with
watching reactions in real time. That
used to be like with more events that used to kind of be that type of thing, and it's not as much anymore because like I feel like less people care about celebrity and all that kind of stuff. But it is fun.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I think celebrity has got a hold on a lot of people still.
It definitely does. But I feel like the Super Bowl is one of those things where like you can get you can see everybody's reactions in like real time, especially on Twitter. And like it's just really, really funny. So
and you see a comment and you're like, you know what it's related to, even if there's like no context to the post, it's like you know exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah. What did we do before there was like social media? We just watched the game.
Just watched it and talked to the
people. Or like you call your friend, call your buddy, be like, "Yo, did you see that? Oh man, that's crazy."
Or you gotta wait till Monday and water cooler talk, you know, at the office.
So, all right, guys. Well, let's all wish Ryan's team, Kansas City Chiefs, that they'll follow the script and win the Super Bowl. Yep. We are going to be gaming. That's what we do on Wednesday. So Ryan has that stream up. That's going to be over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, playing some Apex, right?
Yeah, I think. Playing. Unless you want to play some Rivals.
I don't have any Rivals, man.
What?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest.
Oh man, I've got a new like hero I've been playing.
I'll install it for next week. We'll play it next week.
All right, sure.
But that's going to be over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And we will see everybody next week.